You're listening to The Point. Cultural centers and museums are open for in-person visitors once again. And if our conversation about whaling captains of color with Skip Finley piqued your interest in our region's role in the whaling industry, it might be time to plan a visit to our local whaling and historical museums. Joining us to talk about visiting protocols and exhibits is Mark Prochnick, librarian at the New Bedford Whaling Museum. We also have Heather Seeger, interim executive director and director of the advancement at the Martha's Vineyard Museum. Good morning, Heather.
Hi, Mindy.
And James Russell, executive director of the Nantucket Whaling Museum. Hi, James.
Hey, Mindy. Hi, Heather. Hi, Mark.
All right, so museums are open to the public, but there are new procedures for visiting. James, let's start with you. What are the protocols for in-person visiting to the Nantucket Whaling Museum?
Thanks, Mindy. A lot of the usual protocols that you'd expect, social distancing, wearing a mask. We've enhanced the cleaning schedule here with three times a day, folks going around with a bleach bucket, wipes and sanitizers available for all the guests. Staff is monitoring their health on a daily basis, occupancy limits. The protective barriers and proper air filters and the like. So a lot of, commonsensical sort of approaches that people have enjoyed. I would say the one that probably has caught people's attention, because we wanted to bring a little bit of, well, kind of put a smile on some people's faces, and we worked with an organization on the island here, Ravis Real Estate, to lay down what we call a yellow cobblestone road. And it allows you to walk through the entire facility touch-free. From as you come in the front door, you follow this yellow cobblestone road, which is obviously a play on The Wizard of Oz, and you walk through the entire museum without having to touch a knob or a button. And interestingly, almost diametrically opposed to how museums usually operate, with doors having to be closed into galleries to maintain humidity control and the like, we've got those doors open, thus allowing for what I think is a very safe a visit through the entire facility.
Heather, similar for you as well?
It is similar. And we've, like everyone, we've asked people to book their time tickets online. And so far this season, we're seeing about 70% of the visitors that we had last year. So it's slower around the museum, which we expected with the restrictions on numbers. But people are still coming. And we do surveys after every visit. And 96% of people feel safe visiting the Martha's Vineyard Museum. So we're really proud of that. Our visitor services team is doing a great job.
All right, Mark, how about you?
Yeah, so we're doing a time ticket approach as well. You can register online prior to your visit, and there's two-hour time slots from 10 to noon, noon to 2, and 2 to 4. And we're open from 10 to 4 Wednesday through Sunday. And then we're doing a special members-only day on Monday with the same sort of thing. And we're getting good feedback. We have directional signs in the galleries to make sure there's one-way traffic in certain places, and we have signs that, limit the number of people in galleries for social distancing requirements, and we have limited capacity to make sure that all social distancing requirements can be met. And we're getting positive feedback, too. So that's all good to hear, that there are people who want to come and are coming.
Yeah, Mark, was the New Bedford Whaling Museum able to install any new exhibits during the period where you were closed to the public? And what are some of the current exhibits that you have open right now?
Yeah, sure. We were actually fortunate enough to install three new exhibits that recently opened. The most recent one that opened is Masterworks, and that talks about it deals with artwork done by New Bedford and local artists, which is pretty cool. You got William Bradford, R. Swain Gifford, the major players in the local artistic industry. And then we have two other exhibits by local artists. One was Allison Wells' exhibit, and she's a local artist and paints scenes from the region, New Bedford scenes. Her artwork's really, really cool, so it's worth coming to check out. And another one is a local Wampanoag artist, Elizabeth James Perry, and her artwork, jewelry, that sort of thing, it's really cool, just sort of just seeing how she, you know, the things she made, and then reading how she made it. It's actually, it's a really, really, really nice exhibit in that regard about the creation of objects. So those three exhibits are really pretty cool. They touch on the local aspect of what we do.
James, what are some of the current exhibits open at the Nantucket Whaling Museum?
Yeah, we put up actually a whole roster of new exhibits. Very proud of how the staff have been able to do that despite all the limitations. I would say that given the times, the most impactful has been one called The Road from Abolition to Suffrage. We were planning all along to have an exhibit on suffrage because of the celebrations of 100 years. So that was in the works. And then with the Black Lives Matter movement, we made that pivot to bringing that story back in time and, you know, playing off that yellow cobblestone road. We came up with the title, The Road from Abolition to Suffrage, which also plays off the Underground Railroad. And that looks at enslaved people on Nantucket, and with a document as early as 1710, which is a very early document, actually responding to some of the comments that came from the Dartmouth Meeting House, which is over by New Bedford, and the Nantucket response to that, and running it up through Absalom Boston, as Skip Finley was talking about, some of the incredible achievements of black mariners, and Douglass's first public speech, where he talks about finding his voice on Nantucket as a result of being invited over from New Bedford, and running up through noted women on the island and also on the national scene, for instance, Lucretia Mott, who was born not far from where I'm talking to you now. So that exhibit is a very powerful exhibit. It's one that we plan to move from a temporary exhibit into a permanent presentation, perhaps not with the same name, but certainly building on the content. And we're looking to beef up our artifacts and our presentation capabilities around what we think is a very important story. And then, not to belabor everybody with all the different exhibits going on, but this month is noted for the sinking of the Essex, and on the 20th of November, we celebrate that particular, not celebrate, that's not the right word, we remember that tragedy, and there is a new exhibit which surrounds that, again, as we make that a permanent presentation at the facility.
Heather, what are some of the new or current exhibits at the Martha's Vineyard Museum?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so we, in our Holland Shed Gallery, which is the largest gallery upstairs, we have an exhibit by the local artist Steve Maxner. Steve is a Vietnam vet who has really used walks on the beach and found objects on the beach as a way of dealing with his post-traumatic stress from the war. And the sculptures in the gallery are absolutely beautiful. We wanted to do something when we reopened that encouraged people to use, you know, the nature around us here on the island as a way of sort of healing from some of the trauma that people are going through right now in lots of different ways. And so Steve's work felt really appropriate to have up in the museum. We too have an exhibit on suffrage, and as part of that exhibit, we have recently acquired into the collection a ballot box from 1920, which would have been the first time that women on the island were voting for the president. So this is from West Tisbury that recently they donated to us. We have an exhibit called Vineyard Activism, or Making Change, which is 200 years of vineyard activism, looking at both indigenous rights movements here on the island and the civil rights movements on the island from, you know, the early 18th century through this summer. And a number of families and organizations around the island donated signs and posters and, you know, different ephemera to the museum that we have on display. And coming up soon, next Tuesday, the a culinary historian, cookbook author, Jessica Harris, has an exhibit going up looking at vineyard postcards through the years called Wish You Were Here. And she recently finished a book about African postcards and sort of interrogating postcards and what stories do they tell, what messages do they send through their imagery. And so she's looking at vineyard postcards for us and doing the same. So we're really excited to have Jessica working with the museum on that.
Yeah, sounds like all three have some really exciting things going on. We're checking in with some of our local whaling and historical museums, and we'll have more after a quick break. Listening to The Point, we are checking in with the New Bedford and Nantucket Whaling Museums and the Martha's Vineyard Museum. With us is Mark Prochnick, librarian at the New Bedford Whaling Museum, Heather Seeger, interim executive director and director of advancement at the Martha's Vineyard Museum, and James Russell, executive director at the Nantucket Whaling Museum. Heather, at the start of the pandemic, it seemed like many museums scrambled to make exhibits available virtually. Were you able to have some virtual exhibits at the Martha's Vineyard Museum? And if so, were people taking advantage of those offerings?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so we didn't focus too heavily on virtual exhibits per se, but what we did do is begin to use our social media, so both Instagram and Facebook, as a way of sharing items from the collection and oral histories from the collection. We also, our education department worked really hard to get all of our lesson plans up on the website and available for parents who are homeschooling, you know, for maybe the first time. And the nice thing about the social media is that it's so easy to track the engagement that people are having with what you're putting up. And so we were able to really take a look at what were the stories that people wanted to hear more about, what could we dig a little bit deeper on. And we saw something like a 600% increase in our social media engagement in the early months of the pandemic, and you know, 1,200 lesson plans downloaded from our website.
Wow.
By parents at home.
Yeah, that's great. Mark, the New Bedford Whaling Museum did make some exhibits available online. So did you see many people visiting the museum virtually? And what do you think is lost when people aren't physically in a museum space?
Yeah. Well, so, I mean, we did get some, got a lot of virtual visitors, but I think when you're not in the museum space, let me just say what we did with virtual exhibits. What we did is we took, say, myself, another curator, and we did what was called Stories from the Stacks, or behind-the-scenes look at one particular object. I did about 10 or so videos. A couple curators did some others. And we talk about a piece from the collection. I did some actually in collection storage, so it was a nice behind-the-scenes peek into, you know, the inner bowels of the museum, if you will. And although you do get a unique perspective on a one particular piece of the collection, if you were actually in the museum looking at that particular piece, you would then bring your own interpretation. So although it is really, really neat to hear, you know, a staff member's take on a really neat piece from the collection, being in the museum, looking at that piece in the context of an exhibit and all the other pieces that are in the museum brings something else to the table. So there's no substitute for actually coming in and looking at the stuff in person, but I feel like we did a good job sort of bringing the stuff as best we could to people's homes remotely.
James, did the Nantucket Whaling Museum move to a virtual space during your closure to the public?
Yeah, similar to what Mark and Heather said, hit the nails on the head there, the metrics on social media and engagement in the digital space increased. And I absolutely agree with Mark's statement that museums are about a physical interaction with objects, and you come to look at stuff. And so, you know, you are curtailed a little bit as you look at this online. You know, there was the pivot, as everybody did, online, and you try to do the best you can. I would say that I felt like we were in a rather fortunate position because we had invested over the past 3 years in increasing our capabilities in the digital realm. And there's a logical reason for that, right? When you're so many miles out from Cape Cod, you know, we want people to be engaged with what's happening in Nantucket when they're not here. So it's very much part of our strategy to have a robust presence on the web. And we were able to double down on that. But then when we saw an opening to open the first week in July, we then did a pivot to upgrade the physical presentations. I would say one online presentation, which has really taken off, and I love it because it's rather humorous. We call it NHA University, but it, which is kind of, you know, amusing that there's a university on Nantucket. But what we do is we bundle, we pick a particular topic, name your topic, and then we have scholars contribute. So there's a bundled focused content on a particular message, and it's very widely received and enjoyed. So that's been a fun activity, which will continue in the post-COVID environment. Wow.
So, James, typically museums can only display a small fraction of their collections. Can you give us a sense of what artifacts the Nantucket Whaling Museum has that are not on display and how you work with researchers and historians to help them access these collections?
Yeah, so really following on from what I said in that investment, one of the backbones is a very good database such that you can quickly get access to the collections. And about 3 years ago, we invested about $250,000 in a new Google searchable database. So you can very simply, it knocks down barriers. So you're not going through various layers to get to our collections. And that has generated a tremendous increase in people perusing our collections. And it's been very popular. You know, across the board, whether it's transcribing and transcriptions of logbooks to updating and making better and more substantial the descriptions of the collections we have, we're finding that whether it's the avocational person who's trying to do some research or whether it's a scholar, that more people are coming to the site to find information. And then, you know, the hope is that they ultimately come to see us in person.
Yeah. Just a couple of minutes left. Heather, what would listeners be surprised to learn that the Martha's Vineyard Museum has in its archives?
That is a great question. I mean, we have the largest genealogical collection related to island families anywhere in the world. And so what we see a lot of is people, you know, seeking to understand their own family history better. There was recently someone who came and was researching ancestors, and we were able to pull out a deed from the 1670s that was signed by their eighth great grandmother and the female Wampanoag sachem from whom she was buying land. So, you know, the records that we have go back, and many of them are very fragile. So we work to use digital versions of our archival collections as much as possible to keep them safe for posterity.
All right, Mark, you get the last minute. Well, tell us a little bit about some of the requests you get.
Oh, so I get requests of all kinds. So we're the Old Dartmouth Historical Society, in addition to the New Bedford Whaling Museum. So we're going to collect history of the region. So that's New Bedford, Fairhaven, Westport, Dartmouth, and Acushnet. So we get a lot of genealogy requests, local history researchers, but we also get whalers, people doing whaling research, maritime research, that sort of thing. And the bulk of the library collection is the logbook and journal collections, about 2,500 whaling logbooks and journals there with me in the library. And most of those are not on exhibit, and they always say a picture's worth 1,000 words. But when you have 2,500 whaling logbooks and journals, you're talking thousands and thousands and thousands and thousands of words. So that's a great that's a great resource for researchers. And basically, every entry has the potential to tell its own story. And yes, you never know what you're going to find in those entries. And
that's right. You never know what you're going to find. That's right.
Exactly.
Mark Prochnick is a librarian at the New Bedford Whaling Museum. Heather Seeger, Interim Executive Director and Director Advancement at the Martha's Vineyard Museum. And James Russell, Executive Director, Nantucket Whaling Museum. Thanks for being with us. And we'll post links with more information about all three of the museums at our website, capeandislands.org. Thanks. I'm Mindy Todd. Thank you for listening.
Thank you.
The Point is produced by Amy Vince. The executive producer is Mindy Todd. Production assistance from Jenny Junker and Dan Tridle. Theme music by Benjamin Verdery and William Coulter.